This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting, May 5th, 2010.
Thank you. You agree, Andrew?
What? Yeah, we have a quorum. We got nine.
Good. That's wonderful. Well, the first thing that we have to cope with is something that came up last time we voted on, which has to do with the campus code of conduct. And thanks to Ari, he has clarified the language that we voted on. Apparently, the effect of what we voted on was to have absolutely no statute of limitations on people who have committed fraud. Oh, thank you.
I just want to correct to give credit where it's due. It was the judicial administrator who very graciously, she'd originally asked for language that's similar to what was passed. And when she found out that the error was made, she was the one who reported it and insisted it be fixed.
So, what may I read to everybody, since you probably don't have it in front of you, the current language. In cases where the charge involves fraud, the period shall be one calendar year from the alleged fraud, or 60 calendar days from the filing of a complaint alleging fraud, whichever is longer, but in any event, no more than 3 calendar years from the alleged fraud. That's what I thought we voted on last time, but no. This is the new and improved language.
Happy to vote.
Oh,
there we go.
Wonderful. Thank you.
That's a good thing.
And I suppose to be proper, I should say that this is... is there anybody that seconds this motion?
Second.
Okay, good. Move to second. So any discussion?
So I've read it. I'm personally a fan of what this is. This is actually placing a limit now on the JA. So I do commend the JA for bringing this up, even though it's limited her powers. So.
Is there any further discussion? Then can I call for a vote? All those in favor of this motion, please signify by raising a hand. Ten in favor. Opposed? None opposed. Any abstaining? No abstentions. Okay, another controversial item that has been resolved. Good. Now, it says here, roll call. What am I supposed to do? There's they write on the sheet. That's roll call, isn't it? Ah, thank you. Okay, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. Ellis, before you take another mouthful.
Ellis Lowe, professor of biomedical sciences up in the vet school.
I'm Evan Cortens, a graduate student in music. I'm new.
Good.
Andrew Brockley, a junior in the ILR school.
Willie Kendall, freshman in ILR.
Good.
Tony Garrison, professor in music.
Randy Wayne, and professor in plant biology.
Mike Walsh, PhD candidate in biological and environmental engineering.
Ed Strong, graduate student in genetics and development.
And I'm Charlie Walter, retired from neurobiology and behavior.
I'm also Jared Condon. I'm a junior in the School of Industrial Labor Relations.
Excellent. Okay, we've done that. It says next, reports of constituent assemblies, which is? We can skip that. Good.
Yes, it is as well.
Well, I just have to figure out what these things are. Call for late additions to the agenda. Marty.
I'd like to discuss just briefly the University Assembly's opinion about
right here. Range from buildings. Currently, there's a Green Buildings Oversight Council, which is designed the
create the design criteria for new buildings or large residence renovations. Climate is going to be measuring our current carbon inventory. The food, obviously, energy. These things are pretty much straightforward. Transportation is something that's already been in the works there. People, it's how we're going to engage people, how we're going to get them to buy into stuff like energy conservation initiatives throughout all the constituencies. There will probably be, as I said, there's the Green Building Oversight Committee already here. There's already kind of a transportation committee offered through the UA, although its focus is isn't specific sustainability. All these groups right here will probably end up being some sort of subcommittees of this PSTC, specifically with a couple staff contacts, maybe some student or faculty representation as the need arises. So we're really excited here with how things are, how this whole kind of creating a critical mass of people in all these different areas focused on all, you know, very specific items of how Cornell can be more sustainable. Additionally, there's the whole communications aspect of things, because we realize both internally and externally that we don't tell our stories all enough. We do a lot of great things, like source cooling, combined heat and power. We're not thought of as a green university, both internally and externally. And we kind of created this communication subgroup to start to deal with that as well. Now, the University Sustainability Committee is up here in the corner, and that was put there because the PCCSC, which is managed by Burke Land, realize that there is this kind of legislative arm that's out there that kind of really represents the community's concerns and can serve as a valuable conduit for, you know, issues that might pop up from time to time, like Marcellus Shale or community concerns when it comes to energy efficiency, like the Lifestyle Campaign that one of our colleagues started. So the question is, how do we get this group integrated with that, and how do we draw that line? Now, you know, as we've kind of looked over, as you guys, or the former UA members who are continuing on this year, have looked over the charter, there have been a couple, I think, opportunities, Ed and I have talked about it, for creating a area of legislative authority over sustainability on campus. And this would be a very, I think, useful place for the UA to actually have legislative authority and some sort of oversight where we could work with kind of this group right here to create some sort of, you know, green policies, let's say like the LEED Silver policy that was passed about 2 years ago, and really trying to generate stuff like the revolving loan fund, address stuff like Marcellus Shale. And this body, the U.S., would act as a legislative body to this side's executive. And the University Sustainability Committee, whatever you want to call it, in the future, can be sort of the advisory committee to the UA, which has final yes or no clearance on whatever recommendations the sustainability puts forward, and then forwards that to the present sustainable campus committee.
So you're kind of explaining not a shared, but president's committee is oversight.
Yeah.
And the university assembly can have legislative authority to put forward new issues.
Yeah.
New direction.
The best thing that I would be able to describe it as is that, again, it's the executive side and the UA is the legislative side of things. The UA is the side of the people, the representatives of all constituencies.
I think that's different from what you said, Ed, in the sense that what he's describing is that, for example, the President's Sustainability Campus Committee, if it had existed 2 months ago, would not have come up with Marcellus Shale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that the President's Committee is oversight, because if it were oversight, it would be overseen. You know, it would be overlooked, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to be picky about this, but I noticed the big bold and the little, and I also noticed this thing sort of floating over there. Are you interested in drawing a line somewhere?
Perhaps. It could be any color you like, and the line probably should be drawn directly between PSCC and the UA.
I agree with that. And I'm wondering whether or not there can be some, you know, written description of that line, in the sense that if you're on the both committees, you would be a kind of liaison from the UA to that committee, so that the things that the UA is doing, either through its sustainability committee or on its own, would have direct connection to the executive. I mean, we are legislative and executive, but we're different, and we know this from having, because the money is entirely controlled by the president's office and the trustees. And in the legislative-executive relationship in the federal government, the money is in the hands of the Congress and the industries. But that's that. What we need to do is figure out, if we have legislation, what does it accomplish relative to these to the president's committee? And if you're talking about communications, one of the things that can happen is there can be more communications between the University Sustainability Committee and the University Assembly and its constituencies, not just, you know, PR. I don't mean, I think that's a deprecating way.
Yeah.
But
I certainly agree that it goes both externally and internally. You know,
okay.
There is just so many problems right now with people, you know, and there we have probably like 30 or 40 different student groups focused on sustainability.
Yeah.
And we've had, within the past 2 years, you know, another two assembly committees pop up, and in addition to the SA's one. And the problem is right now, nobody knows what the other person is doing
mm-hmm.
or trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
and
familiar.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one, you know, and there are a couple other things that do go into this. And I think the University Sustainability Committee should expand beyond its current membership
mm-hmm.
to maybe three people per constituency.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that, and we've already done it with the graduate students.
Or you know, aim to do it in a much more, I think, official way, where you get one person as liaison from each assembly. So each assembly now knows what's going on and has somebody directly reporting back.
I think this is a matter of discussion later. The only reason I say that, I need to cut you off, and this I did, but is to say that we don't want to, you know, reorganize it over the table. We want to talk about what are the positives and negatives. The simple thing is, though, that we need to have more vigorous communication between those two bodies so that we can come up with, well, we're actually, it's sustainability. It's, I mean, I think we agree on what it is, and I think we agree that it's all a good for everybody. So why is it that we can't sort of figure out a way of accomplishing it better in a recombinative way?
Well, you guys are almost there, and I think the way that I see, you know, this legislative authority works out is you do have some sort of administrator or a vice president kind of as the liaison in a certain area of legislative authority. I think what was discussed recently with Mary Opperman, and Family Services.
Family Services.
Yeah.
Family
Services. Yeah. And in this case, it would be either probably Dan Roth, Q Wong, or Bert Land, depending on who wants to be the official contact.
There. Yeah. All right.
But I think back to your question, I think the University Sustainability Committee is a great committee. It's doing good work.
Uh-huh.
And it has a really strong role in bringing new issues forward.
Uh-huh.
And I know that we've talked about what we're going to do for legislative authority next year, and that's when we look at the charter.
Okay.
So if the opportunities arise to sort of have conversations with anybody on the president's committee or administration and start building this momentum towards saying the UA is the place to have legislative authority and a real actionable plan on sustainability on campus, we should start realizing that and start talking to people towards that account.
Great.
So
great.
Give me an example of how this legislative authority would work, considering that the committees and groups that we have legislative authority over have been an abject failure. Putting forward resolutions is not legislative authority.
Yeah.
Give me an example of something that would demonstrate legislative authority that we would do.
Ellis, before that goes down, that's a general question. I want to ask one specific thing. I like the idea of having more representation on our committee. And, well, first, yeah, the formal recognition and the channels for communication mm-hmm. developed. But so I would suggest to the other constituencies, the undergraduate constituency, if you, we have, you know, as I said, Phil Edens on our committee, and in terms of employees, Linda Howe is on it, who's quite active, right? It's Linda Howe, right?
Linda Kroll Howe
is on it. And if employees had more time to have one or two more on, would make a lot of sense. With the undergraduates to have people who are engaged if a kind of communication channel is developed where the ideas that are brought by those different constituencies from their respective other organizations can actually get some clout as a consequence. But if it's just another meeting to go to...
Well, no, that certainly I don't want it to be that. And what I do see is, let's say the SA is, or the GPSA or whoever, they will submit one or two or three good quality students, good quality committee members to serve on this committee. They would be able to work with an employee, a faculty, kind of in this wider group, and work with the administrative liaisons of this committee, Burke Land, Dan Ross, and work on maybe one issue a semester, let's say, or an ad hoc issue as it comes up, and crafting a university policy, let's say, like Leaf Silver. I mean, that would be a great thing that that could have come from a committee like this.
Sure.
In tandem with work, working with the Green Building Oversight Council or whoever.
Right.
I mean, I think there are possibilities that are there. I don't want to hammer on on.
I think the way to proceed here is for two to have an offline discussion and figure out what it makes sense to do. I think what I've heard seems reasonable. I worry very much about legislative authority.
Yeah, I mean, that was very nice going around. I see no benefit in us getting more legislative authority that we don't even know what legislative authority is. Having lines of communication, a very active committee, putting forward resolutions, all of that is fine and dandy. Legislative authority has been abject failure with this group ever since I've been on for just 20 years. And just finding some way to put in the charter some new legislative authority is going to be a failure.
But
because we have no power to do anything legislative. It's that simple.
It's true with every assembly. I mean, the SA has...
Well, you make the recommendations, right?
The SA has legislative authority over campus life, but we don't make...
Yeah, but even calling legislative authority bothers me.
Yeah. Ari?
I feel like there's something incorrect there, because I think there is one area where the UA has... exercise legislative authority. Yeah, and the way it's exercised authority in that area is not just advisory. It actually monitors every policy change and has a say in every policy change. And one of the things that our office and I think the rest of the UA membership was excited about in the referendum that's going on right now, if it passes, is that maybe there might be other areas that would be appropriate for the UA to have legislative authority.
Right. Now into the general discussion, I think you're right. Ellis, this is good to have the general discussion now, because I can see where in transportation, planning, and in other sustainability initiatives, having legislative authority equivalent of what we have with the Codes and Judicial Committee would be significant if it were built in. That is, if we reframed the whole first couple paragraphs of the charter and said the UA has legislative authority over transportation policy and the execution of transportation initiatives on the campus. The UA could pass a statement that said no vehicles on campus from thus and such a time to thus and such a time. I mean, just for example. Or that the UA should pass an initiative which says that we must have at least 20 bicycle parking spaces in front of every entrance to a major campus.
If we get that kind of authority, then what's the point of this campus committee?
Which?
The one on the right or the one on the left?
The big one in bold. Well, that's the question that I had. Notice, the big one in bold, that's the question I had.
These are key administrators right here who really need to be involved in sustainability discussions. Outside a community.
I see that, but the difference we're making with the CJC and saying that we have legislative authority over the Codes and Judicial, I mean, the reason we are involved in every policy change is because we have the same type of administrators on that kind of committee. It's all staffed by lawyers and people who, the JA and the police chief, it's the similar type of administrators that make that committee really in charge of the policy. And if we're saying we want to give us a new legislative authority, then I don't see why Gary Stewart and all those people would be on this committee.
Yeah, I mean, these three people are on the University Sustainability Committee. Now,
that's an architect.
Burke Land habitually recuses himself from all votes because he says that they have to do with policy, and he can't vote on something that has to do with policy on our committee, which is an interesting question. Then one wonders if in this committee it's really a committee or whether it's not. I mean, what?
We don't vote on this committee.
You don't vote at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the point is that the president can always trump. The CJC because historically we've been allowed to do what we do with the CJC. If the CJC suddenly says, we're going to be like Utah, we're going to let people carry guns on campus, we're going to legislate it, you think the president's going to let us do that? No, and neither would the trustees. They let us do it. Because
I understand, but how is that relevant to the question of sustainability?
Because to have legislative authority implies that we could make legislative demands, okay, but that somehow would have weight as opposed to resolution.
And
it could always be trumped by the president and the board of trustees.
And
so
this is
to rewrite the entire charter to put forward legislative authority when we don't have legislative authority active over any of the other ones. How many, I mean, you guys haven't been here, this is a litany with me. How often have I said we should legislate free parking for everybody and just see what happens? And it always dies, because you know what's going to happen.
Free bus passes, I'll vote for.
Free bus passes for everybody. You know, if we have legislative authority, let's see what it does. Let's exercise our legislative authority. And it never, ever happens. And to just create another committee with these two words that we can't even functionally define.
We'll be able to have a committee.
CJC,
you just don't have it two words.
Again, the committee making resolutions, having a mechanism to ask the president to respond with all the things that we do right now is fine. It's just this legislative authority. It's like we can actually do something authoritative, and I'm not sure that we can do that.
Okay, we're having a good general conversation. You're on my
mind. Am I allowed to address Alice?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
So basically, I had been in meetings before. I had heard you talk about this. And your main issue is that, like, the definition of legislative authority. You're saying ideally we would be able to just pass something and then they enact it, right? But the truth of the matter is that the president just has to, like, sign off on it.
Yes. Well,
fundamentally, the way it really works is this body makes recommendations to the president. The president agrees to take them seriously, but not necessarily to implement them. I mean, I'm sure if we say every day is slope day or free parking for everybody, the president will not agree, and he will argue the point. He did, by the way, with the campus code of conduct. He didn't accept all of those recommendations either. He accepted most of them, but he wanted some rethought. And I think that is the best. The university is not a democracy. The university is an enlightened dictatorship. And the only good part of it is that we currently have a president, a provost, who seemed to be willing to listen to the opinions of the various constituents. And I think the best one can hope for is to provide guidance and an expression of opinion. And if it's reasonable, I think the president will go along with it. I don't think we have legislative authority over tiddlywinks, not even the kind of delicious meals that Ari and provide for us. So I think it's a red herring. I think what we are is an advisory body, and that's about the best you can hope for. Anyway.
Can I just close on one thing?
And then we ought to move on to the...
And you, Alice, you're just throwing this into a debate of us 316 versus 300. And
I don't see it that way. I see this as a community engagement process where we try to bring our community members, our representative community members, together with our administrative side of things, and craft a plan for how we can make this university a much, much more sustainable campus.
Absolutely.
And give it some sort of official feeling, so we feel like we're doing something through a process that is established.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. That's how I see that.
The committee of the UA that recognizes an active committee of the UA legitimizes it right from the start. All I was upset about was these words again that
you know, have bothered me since the first time I read the charter, and I thought, oh, this is great. You know, I'll never forget when Wendt came and said, oh, we're going to now charge in BLOP, and it was free, and raised the issue that, hey, we have legislative, no, you know, you can't do it.
So the initial question, though, was what is the virtue of legislative authority? And Ari said that it has some value, especially when we talk about the CJC. And my response to that is the reason the CJC has so much clout is because of the people who are on it. It's because they're all policymakers in key areas. They're mainly administrators. And that's something we don't have on other committees. Plus, we keep closer tabs on it than the liaison.
I think that's part of it. I think a big part of why that relationship has worked out is because the UA has had a sustained, engaged role overseeing that process throughout its existence. And 29 years ago, when the UA's current legislative authority was set in stone, and it literally hasn't changed since then, I'm sure that this reflected the best wisdom of what people thought were key community issues at that time. And there was a period of time where the UA would oversee the budgets from all these departments, and it was somewhat engaged in their policies. Now, that hasn't happened in a very long time, but I don't think that that necessarily means that there aren't areas for the UA to have that kind of engagement. One thing I worry about right now with the UA legislative authority where it is at one time all of those departments were part of the same administrative unit on campus, and they all, you know, talked to each other and were part of some unified bureaucracy, but that hasn't been the case for like 20 years. So a question that arises, and I think that we're going to be working on for the next year, hopefully now that it's possible to change the charge of the UA and change the focus of the UA, is what is this assembly about? What does it want to be focused on? What are the issues that affect all constituencies on campus that the UA wants to be engaged on anymore? And I think out of that, you might very well get some areas where the UA doesn't need to have that kind of involvement anymore. And I think there also are plenty of areas where the UA, for instance, sustainability, where there is a strong community interest in all parts of the community in being engaged in that issue, and there's finally an opportunity for the UA to make that part of its mission.
But what's the difference between the UA Sustainability Committee now and the UA Sustainability Committee once we give it legislative authority?
Well, I think that's something that's going to require a lot more conversation, because the difficult thing with sustainability is sustainability isn't, you know, a program. There isn't a department of sustainability.
What's going on?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well, in that case, it sort of might make sense.
Yeah.
So,
but I think we should continue this discussion next year. And the reason I say that is, my hope is that we can redo the charter of this enterprise, but to really bring it up to date and to make it more realistic, because it hasn't been changed, as you point out, much time in 9 years.
Yeah.
It's about the length of time I've been at Cornell.
I also wanted to offer, I'm sorry.
Me too.
I don't want to cut you off, but
already.
I wanted to offer, I'm here all summer long.
I was thinking that we ought to have an ad hoc committee if this resolution passes. If the charter revision thing passes, we ought to have an ad hoc committee to start working on it over the summer. That is, to really sit down, you know, two or three times and say, what about this, what about that, so that we're ready to really hit the ground with some recommendations the first meeting.
Well, we did a number of that. There's a
chance
to get some recommendations.
But right.
I'm all for we should have these conversations in the summer so we hit the ground running.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do some coordinating around
but,
that. If we have
representatives. I'd like to be on that too.
Okay. Excellent. We now.
But I do have one more to finish up.
I'm sorry.
Hope.
Yeah.
Would you direct Mike and I to have discussions about this over the summertime, if you're here?
With
whoever you think is appropriate in the U.S. in the President's Committee.
Yeah.
And I will talk to the Sustainability Committee on Monday to ask them what they think is appropriate so we can get that going. You're going to be there Monday.
I might have a lunch.
Well, we'll give you lunch. No, the point is we.
Yeah.
That was the main agenda item.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I told Fred that I might not be able to make it.
Fred? Oh.
Calvin. Yeah.
Yeah. This album. Fred Calvo?
Fred
Calvo. Oh, I didn't see that.
I haven't heard anything. I can check and get back to you, but yeah.
Anyway, I think, do we have as a body, can we direct these gentlemen to have a conversation?
All right.
Yeah, sure.
A second.
All right.
I think that's important. So I read the Sun article. It just wasn't clear to me what it was all about. This discussion would help me understand that Sun article.
In the remaining few minutes, do you want to say something about the child care situation?
Yeah, so just to bring some of the new members of the SPEED, we have a child care committee. The child care center at Cornell is having some issues. You may have seen this in the Cornell Sun. Even before the Cornell Sun and the Ithaca Journal got wind of this, we had addressed it, passed a resolution outlining a number of things, and basically saying if Bright Horizons, who's a third party provider, doesn't step up to the plate and fix this, Cornell needs to now start investigating another option to provide child care for Cornell. I think the president sent us a letter saying he needs more time to review our resolution. He's obviously a very busy man right now, so he needed some extra time before he responded to it. In a non-official manner, I've been looking at the Child Care Center for a class project at the Johnson School. We examined what's going wrong. Spoken with chief human resources officers, also vice president of Bright Horizons, Boston, the regional manager, the director of the facility, teachers, parents, people in human resources. So I've talked to a lot of people. The press coverage and our resolution have all been seen, noted, scared the crap out of people. They really are moving to make this center better now. The CEO of the company has visited the center, which doesn't happen. The regional manager who oversees several different centers is basically living in Ithaca right now to get this center on track. They're bringing in teachers who are experienced in this from across the country to help the teachers at the center. They're knowing that they need to re-examine the student-to-teacher ratio, and they're in the talks with Cornell. Cornell pays for the teacher salaries to figure out where they can get the money and how to do this as per the contract which exists. So really the forces are motivated and all parties involved really are working in. By parent anecdotes, things are already starting to be heard and the trajectory is going. So there's nothing definitive yet, but I would say many people that I've spoken with, the forces are marching.
Okay. That's a good definition of legislative authority.
Yeah. No, that was a resolution that we put. We didn't legislate anything.
Yeah, we don't have a
separate resolution.
When we changed the charter,
we started.
I agree with you. Okay, is there anything else for the good of the order?
I'll keep on the powers that be about the biology curriculum resolution.
Get a proper response.
Yeah, to make sure we do get a response.
I would love to have harassment expansion.
Yeah.
You know, before the end of the semester.
I will work on that.
I don't see why it is. I mean, ours was fairly. It was a code. It was related to the code in some way. So.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense that we don't have a response.
And I don't see why University Council kind of opined about that this time. So I will see what's happening with that.
Thank you.
It was a good year.
Yep.
Thank you all very much.
Also, Marty, I'm actually next year going to be SA chairman of the Environmental Committee.
maybe you want to be
thank you.
That you can the lunch just happened.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.